Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of History Dweebs. I am Tim, and as always, I'm joined by the blue hair beauty, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm well, Tim. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Excellent.
And we were fortunate to have with us today, fresh off the campaign trail, the Honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Oh, Timmy, I got a little bit of jet lag. A little bit of jet lag.
And did you take the red eye?
I took the red eye. As you know, the Colonel got something going on with his, he got a grab in his gleet. As Granny Clampy used to say.
I don't know what that is.
Something going on in my back here, but okay. But I'm sure they'll take care of it. I got the finest doctors in the world looking after me, so.
Well, you're a presidential candidate, so I'm sure that you'll get the best care possible.
Obamacare.
Yeah. Well, perhaps you should get trying to sign up for Obamacare.
Well, and that's part of my platform, Obamacare.
Or Colonel Care, whatever you want to call
what
it.
What we're going to do,
and it's going to be known as Colonel Care.
Well, what we're going to do, Timmy, is I don't know if we've gone over this yet on my platform, but what is the big divisive thing in our country today?
We have gone over.
Read.
Obamacare.
We've gone over Colonel Care.
No, I've gone over with you, not with our listeners.
Yeah.
So, listeners, I want you to listen up. We're going to fix this country by doing one thing. Well, a bunch of things, but the most important thing, my first day in office, Obamacare gone. Obamacare gone.
What are you going to replace it with?
Well, we're going to replace it with Colonel Care.
Colonel Care, okay. Mm-hmm. And what are some of the features of Colonel Care? Like Band-Aid, Rolaids?
This could be the same thing as Obamacare.
Oh.
It's just the Republicans will be happy because Obama will be out of that. The name Obama, they can't stand it. They twitch when they hear the name Obama.
But they just love when they hear your name.
Well, everybody but Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz doesn't like you.
Well, I thought we was getting along fine, and then the guy tried to do the cutsies in front of me at the little buffet thing.
The Sizzler?
No.
Were you at the Sizzler?
No, when we was having a campaign thing, they had a buffet for us.
Was it the corn dogs?
It was pancakes and sausage, Timmy, in Iowa. And Ted Cruz did cutsies. And I was like, hey, Ted, get to the back of the line. And he's like, no, I'm the front runner here. I said, you know, you're the front runner. Ted, you get your ass to the back of the line. Right now.
So you had a falling out.
Me and Ted ain't friends no more.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. Colonel, do you have any shout-outs before we get started?
I do have a shout-out. I would like to give a shout-out to the lovely Dottie Scott.
My mom.
Hi,
your
Dottie.
Dottie.
We're all
Dottie
friends
just
now.
Just a lovely woman. She's my friend on Facebook.
And mine, too.
When Dottie found out that the Colonel was having some problems with his back, Dottie just... She volunteered to come over and nurse me back to health if I needed it.
So she's like Florence Nightingale.
She's like she is. She's a lovely woman. I don't know how. Why aren't you more like Dottie, Timmy?
I don't know.
I mean, she's a compassionate woman. You got no feelings for nobody, really.
No, I'm pretty much self-centered. Okay, do you have any other shout-outs before we go? Do you want to say anything about iTunes? Or
you know what? Yeah, I would like to say something about iTunes.
First, thanks to Scott for a very nice review on iTunes.
Yeah. And your other two rat sons of bitches that gave us the negative reviews, you know what? I ain't looking for Johnny Footstool. After this campaign, once I'm president, I'm going to have the NSA. I'll be able to find you.
We got a couple of
so you might want to be careful.
We got a couple of negative reviews on Facebook. Actually, they were pretty funny. But if you are listening to us on iTunes, we would appreciate if you are listening on iTunes. If you could leave us a review, of course, we would prefer a positive review. But if you could leave us a review, because that's how people find us on iTunes. So if
it's a little tricky. You got to click on our icon when you get to our stuff, and then it goes to reviews and ratings.
Yeah.
So unless we told you that, you know, only really geeks know how to do it, and those are the kind of people to leave bad reviews.
Yeah. So we've had three reviews, one very positive and a couple of negative ones. But please, if you get a chance, check us out on iTunes and leave a review. We would really appreciate it. Okay, so we're going to jump right into the topic today, and the topic is the...
That's kind of funny he said jump right in.
The last public execution in the United States, which occurred in 1936, which is really not that... hasn't been that long ago. There's still a lot of people who are around who was living in 1936.
They'd only be 80 years old right now.
Yeah, it's not that far.
Like you?
I don't know. Yeah, kind of. So we're going to talk about the last public execution that took place in 1936 in Owensboro, Kentucky. We're going to talk about the case, and we're going to talk about kind of the atmosphere at the time when this occurred. But we thought we would start first with, since we're going to talk about the last public execution, we'll talk about briefly talk about the first public execution in the United States. And that's actually occurred before the country was founded. This occurred in the colonies in Massachusetts back in 1642, where a 17-year-old boy, Thomas Granger, he was... charged and found guilty of buggery.
Of what?
Buggery.
Buggery?
Yes.
He was buggering?
Something now, buggery.
Buggery is a crime that just nobody can get on board with that crime.
Yeah, it's...
There are no mitigating circumstances that you could say, well, I buggered because,
exactly.
You know, I stole a loaf of bread because I was hungry.
Right. You know, well, I mean,
I assaulted somebody because he cut in front of me at the buffet line. But buggery, there ain't no reason for buggery.
Yeah, and those of you who are not familiar with the term, it's really bestiality.
And, there you go.
And then, as you know, back in
sodomy could be sodomy,
but in this case with Thomas Granger, it was bestiality. Apparently, he was fooling around with a local cow. And some sheep.
It's not nice to call people that.
And he was, you know, they were pretty strict back in the, you know, back in the colonies in the 1600s. And they went by the Old Testament, and that the fact that he laid down with the beast. Not only did they have to execute him, but they also had to execute the beast. So they paraded some sheep and some farm animals into the courtroom, and Thomas had to, he pleaded guilty. He admitted that he did this dastardly deed.
Did they put the sheep in a lineup?
No, they paraded them, though, and he picked out the sheep that he had carnal relations with.
And they're out?
Yeah, actually a couple of them, and they killed the sheep, killed the cow, and they hung Thomas Granger in publicly, and that was the first public execution in the United States. So, a little tidbit there.
Did the sheep have it coming?
No, I think that's blaming the victim, but that's just me.
Just asking. Sometimes those sheep put the lipstick on.
They're teased. There have been over 15,000 executions in the United States. Since the country was founded, not all these public executions. Our topic today is public executions, but the death penalty is currently legal in 32 states. It was briefly declared unconstitutional in 1972 under the Eighth Amendment as being cruel and unusual, but it was reinstated in 1976. There are only four countries today that have hold public executions, and those countries are Iran, Somalia, North Korea, and Saudi Arabia.
Is everything else private executions?
Everything else is, yeah, kind of one-on-one type of deal. The last, but today's topic is the last
one-on-one
public, the last public execution in the United States, and as we said, that occurred in August of 1936 when Rainey Bethea was put to death for the murder of, how do we say her name?
She's put to death for rape.
Rape. Her name, but he killed her.
It was Lashia Edwards.
Lashia Edwards,
yeah.
Who was 70 years old. First, a little bit about Rainey, and then we will talk about the crime. Rainey was born in 1909 in Roanoke, Virginia. I'm sorry, 1919 in Roanoke, Virginia. He was orphaned rather early in life. His mom died the same year he was born, in 1919, and his father died in 1926. So when he was seven, he was orphaned. There's not much known of his early life, but he moved to Owensboro in 1933, where he worked as a laborer. He was a short guy. He was only 5'4", 5'4 and a half, and weighed 128 pounds.
He was like a ninja.
Yeah, he was a little tiny guy.
He was a small guy. His first brush with the law didn't come until he was 26 years old. And sometimes he went downhill pretty quickly. When he was 26 years old, in 1935, he was charged with the breach of the peace, which I guess is like disorderly conduct. And that same year, he was arrested for stealing two purses, of which he was convicted of a grand larceny, which was a felony, on June 1st, 1935. And he was sentenced to a year in prison. He served 6 months. He was released on December 1st, 1935. After he got out, he got a job as a laborer, where he earned $7 a week.
Ooh, that big money.
Big money back in the day. Well, it's 1936. This is during the Depression. It was during the Depression. I guess you're lucky to have a job at all. I should mention, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but he was African-American. We'll talk about that.
That plays a big role in this.
It does. It does. So he gets out on December 1st. And January 6th, he's arrested for drunk and disorderly conduct. Apparently, he liked to drink.
He just turned into a one-man crime wave.
Well, yeah. And he, you know, he was making a dollar a day, basically, $7 a week. And for this drunk and disorderly conduct, they gave him a $100 fine, which had to be a lot of money back in 1936.
$7 a week.
Yeah. He could not pay the fine, obviously, and he was put in the Daviess County Jail, where he stayed until April 16th, 1936, which leads us up to June of 1936, and where the story takes off.
So, on June 7th, 1936, Bethea gained access to the home of Lashia Edwards. Now, he climbed onto the roof of an outbuilding next door. Then he jumped onto the roof of the servants' quarters of Emmett Wells' house, which I assume is a neighbor. Then he walked down a wooden walkway, climbed over a kitchen roof, and went into her bedroom window.
He was very athletic.
But here's the thing. He was drunk. Like, supposedly he was just blackout drunk. So then my question is to you, I've obviously never been blackout drunk like that, but when you are drunk, are you doing all those kinds of ninja moves? Jumping on rooftops and over things and...
Well, the colonel limited his alcohol intake. You know that.
I do know that. You actually should drink more.
Even being a little tipsy, I have done some amazing things.
This is fascinating to me because he's plowed and he's jumping on roofs like...
Well, I mean, you gotta...
Cat.
If he wasn't drunk, he wouldn't have the nerve to jump across a roof.
If he's 5'4 and a half, what do you think about how well endowed he would be?
What?
I bet they called the boy tripod.
No.
5'4"?
Just raising the question.
No, I'm just saying.
It doesn't matter.
You know what? He probably used it to catapult from building to building. Well, that's how he got over there.
God. You know, and then I have this picture. Remember those little octopuses that you used to throw against the wall and then they would like... Stick. Yeah, they'd stick and come down.
Yeah.
Maybe he did that.
Oh, my God.
He was like Spider-Man.
Yeah. But different. So... He removes the screen to this poor old lady's bedroom, enters the room, and when he enters, he wakes her up. And he then chokes her and rapes her. Really, violently rapes her.
She was like 70, right?
She was. And after she was unconscious, he went through her room looking for valuables. He stole a bunch of her rings. But in the process of all this, he removed his own. He had a black celluloid prison ring.
Yeah, that was a bad move.
Well, and I'm not sure why. What is he trying on cocktail jewelry? Like, why? Yeah.
Own it out. Why is he up to the light or something?
Why is he removing his own ring? But anyway, so he removes his ring. But when he leaves, he doesn't retrieve it. And that's going to kind of screw him. But he left the bedroom and he hid the jewels in a barn not far from where he was. And late next morning, the family that lived downstairs noticed they hadn't heard her that morning, and they thought she might be sick, so they called. They knocked on her door and, you know, tried to get her up. They found that the door was locked, and it had a skeleton key still inside the lock from the inside, which prevented another key from being placed from the outside.
Yeah, so they knew someone had to come in through the window.
So they finally got in, and they found her dead. And they, you know, the room, when the cops got there and everything, the room was otherwise tidy except for there were muddy footprints everywhere, and they found this guy's stupid ring. So they had already suspected Rainey after several residents of Owensboro stated that they had seen him wearing that very same ring. He had a criminal record. They were able to use what was new identification technique, which was fingerprinting. They got his fingerprints off of it. They established that he had touched things inside the bedroom. And so they took off looking for him. On the Wednesday following the discovering of the murder, there was a guy that was working on the banks of the Ohio River and saw Bertha laying underneath Bethia. I keep calling him Bertha, and that's not right. Bethia laying under some bushes. The guy's name was Figgins. He asked Bethia what he was doing, and he said he was cooling off.
Now, I've seen the colonel lay under bushes on the Ohio River.
Who doesn't do that?
Every once in a while, you catfishing, you just crawl under.
You cool off.
Yeah, cool off.
That's really, Huck Finn, do you?
Cover yourself in a little bit chilling of mud.
Yeah.
Get yourself some crawdads.
No, not ever. So, Figgins goes and reports this sighting to his supervisor and tells him to go ahead and call the police. But by the time that the supervisor got back to the spot where Bethia was, he'd already moved over to this place called Cole's Grocery. So the guy followed him and found a policeman in the drugstore. But again, this guy he eluded capture because he's like a ninja. He probably jumps on the side of another building and, you know, whatever.
So he was spry.
He was very spry. So later that afternoon, he was spotted again. But this time he was cornered on the riverbank after he tried to board a barge. Police officers questioned him. He denied that he was even Bethia. It's not me. It's not me. I don't know.
I don't know.
I've denied being myself before.
I know. He claimed his name was James Smith. And police kind of...
James Smith, that is. Yeah. I'm James Smith.
I'm James Smith. Yeah, that's my name.
That's my name.
Did he come up with a better alias?
No. So the police played along with this for a little while.
Methuselah or something, you know.
But, you know, the police played along with it for a little while, and they took him in, and because they were kind of fearing that a mob would develop if they learned that this was the guy that had raped this.
Yeah.
So they waited until after his arrest. They went ahead, and he was definitely identified as Bethia through fingerprints and also through a scar that was on his hand. He was, he's just a hot mess. He was just really, he was a mess.
He confessed, right? I mean, he confessed like 5 times.
He confessed. Once they found out he did it and had him in the, although he confessed 5 times, they don't say if they beat him with a stick or shocked him or whatever they did, which would have not unusual, yeah.
Right. So, you know, he just, this guy did this thing, and what was odd, we were talking about this before, was, you know, he went from kind of these petty things, and then all of a sudden, he's raping and killing this old lady, like, out of the blue. Now, I understand everybody has a first, but...
He was escalating.
Quickly.
Yeah, quickly escalating. He went from age 26 with no record, from that to disorderly conduct to...
Right.
Still in grand larceny, still in purses, and from that to murder and rape. So, I mean, he escalated pretty quickly.
Well,
the jury was out. It wasn't out very long, I don't think.
No, they weren't out very long at all on that one. They found him guilty. Obviously, he confessed, so it wasn't much, he didn't have much of it. So now they, this is a peculiar thing in this one, though. They only charged him with the rape. They did not charge him with the murder, even though he confessed all this, the robbery, the rape, the whole 9 yards. Because if they charge him with the murder, the state had to execute him, and that would be by the electric chair.
Mm-hmm.
If they charge him with just the rape, he could get executed in the county seat where the rape occurred, which would be Owenton, Kentucky.
Yeah, and I think now, I mean, we're so used to, you know, thinking of the death penalty only in first-degree murder cases. But in the past, there were other charges that could be put to death for.
You could get put to death for stealing an apple.
Yeah, or buggery.
Buggery? Yeah.
But in this case, rape...
attractive sheep.
In this case,
sometimes
he was,
they shake their behinds. They're just, you know.
So...
You should celebrate yourself every day. But some days, you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
They wanted the execution to take place in Owensboro, so they went after him on the rape charge.
Yeah, so they got him on the rape charge. So they're not, you know, which is a, there's a couple peculiarities in this whole thing. Number one, the sheriff was a woman. It was a woman. 1936, the sheriff is
good for her.
Florence Shoemaker Thompson. She's obviously, she's 1936, I'm guessing, well, she is a white woman, but, you know, they didn't have many black women sheriffs back then.
No. Didn't have many women sheriffs at all.
No, and then for her, now, she was not obviously she must have been a law and order person, but she was not the one who wanted this to happen in her jurisdiction.
Didn't she take over for her husband? When her husband, the sheriff, he died, and
she took over. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, they're going to hang him. Now, hanging, I don't know how much of you people know about hanging, but the colonel will give you a little lesson here.
There's
3 things that can happen in a hanging.
None of them good.
None of them good. Ideally, you get, and in the old days when it was... gonna get hung. Mm-hmm. The person who is getting hung sometimes will give the hangman a little bit of money to make sure he got it right. Because
yeah, but could you really hold him to that?
Yeah, there was there's a code of honor among hangmen.
Okay.
And this is a peculiar thing because Sheriff Davies had to get a professional hangman to come in and do this for him. So now with a hanging, there's three things that can happen to you. Mm-hmm. One, ideally, now think about this. These are your best options. Ideal, the best option is they get the length of the rope right, because it all has to do with your body weight, the length of the rope, how far you're going to drop, everything else.
Well, he was very light.
There's some math involved in this.
Yeah, and hangmen, they weren't all that good for math. Everybody. It's really not even math. It's like trigonometry and physics.
Physics.
And so if they get it right, if they get the length of the rope right, gauging your weight, everything else, your neck snaps you automatic. You just, you're dead.
Right.
It's all over. Now, the other thing can happen is they don't get the rope long enough and for your body weight. And what happens there is you dangle there until you strangle.
You dangle until you strangle. Yeah.
It's they call it the rope dance. You just kick your feet and everything else, and sometimes it can take 15, 20 minutes. It's an ugly, gruesome thing to watch. But it ain't nearly as gruesome as if they get the rope too long for your body weight. If they get the rope too long and you pick up too much speed on the way down...
It snaps your neck or something, doesn't it?
It takes your head clean off your shoulders.
Yeah, that'll work, too.
Yeah. Now, that's instant death, but, you know, it don't make
much of a layout. Well, if they made it too long, you could just run away.
Well, yeah, you could get to
a... So, you wouldn't get very far.
You wouldn't get very far.
At some point, you would never get tugged.
Yeah. Yeah, which, one time, this is off the subject, but... The colonel, and this was a very amusing story. My niece, she had a big, big yard, and she had a dog that liked to run. Mm-hmm. So she had a 200-foot wire that she could hook this dog up on, and he could run back and forth on this wire. And they was having a party, and, you know, I got the three boys, and Logan was a little bit of, he had a lot of energy to him. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I just took the little wire, and I hooked it to his belt loop, and let him run all over the yard, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He was having a time of his life. And you know when them women came out there, every one of them yelled at me and called me a bad daddy.
I know.
Little boy having
fun.
Because
your kid tied up like a dog.
He was having fun.
You could be using an invisible fence. That would have been
That's
better.
Yeah, I did that one to Taylor. But anyway, to get back to the story.
Yes, back to the hanging of
Now, Florence did not actually, the sheriff. Now, this is where it gets, this is really the story. That
there was 20,000
people showed up for this execution. Think about this, Timmy. Think about this. If Bon Jovi come into town today, they can't get 20,000 people together.
No.
The only person get 20,000 people together come around here, maybe Bruce Springsteen. But think about this. A public execution back in 1936... drew more people. I mean, you could probably, if the president would have come to Owenton, maybe they could have got 20,000.
More than the Reds do.
Yeah, more than the Reds do on the night. They didn't charge any admission, but it was like a party. I mean, bars were packed. They were having hanging parties at homes.
And part of the national spotlight on this was due to the fact, not only of the murder, but due to the fact of this oddity of the female sheriff.
You got to remember, these are back in the days of sensational journalism.
Right.
Where it was, you got a 70-year-old victim who's white. Mm-hmm. You got a black perpetrator
tiny,
of
tiny
that
little
crime.
Man.
Yeah, black perpetrator of the crime.
And Kentucky wasn't the most progressive place in the world in 1936.
It was not. No, it was not in 1936. It was not in 1986 or 2006. And to my friends in Kentucky, I apologize that you have to live in such a godforsaken place.
I live in Kentucky.
I know. I'm right across the river from Kentucky.
Yeah.
And, you know, and one of the...
Kentucky's a wonderful state. It's just it has...
You know what one of the joys the colonel got this weekend?
Okay.
Was watching the undefeated Kentucky team go home.
That's not nice, Colonel. UK fans are listening.
The Colonel, a loyal Bearcat fan. You cannot.
Well, I'm a Bearcat fan too, but there's the UK.
You can't be both. You can't be both.
Are you a Duke fan?
I'm indifferent to Duke.
Okay, back to the story.
So, but anyway, let's get back to this. 20,000 people showing up, and it was really a party atmosphere. And this was very disturbing to especially the sheriff. Now, the sheriff, she don't even know what to do. She actually did not pull the lever when he got hung.
Right. She got someone volunteered, right?
Someone volunteered. She didn't want to do it. Her only statement was that I'm going to spend the rest of my life forgetting or trying to forget this.
Yeah, it wasn't a pleasant experience.
It was very much a burden on this poor woman. She did not...
And the volunteer who stepped forward to was a local law enforcement officer, and he showed up intoxicated. Yeah,
he showed up
loud. He showed up drunk.
Yeah, he was drunk.
Yeah, and he... Now, the actual execution... And what was weird about this whole thing is that the night before and the day leading up to it, it was like a carnival. It was like mm-hmm. a big thing. Now, the day of it, once they got to the execution, it became more of a somber thing, even for the 20,000 people there. But, you know, they still wanted to see it.
So do you think it would have had the same carnival-like atmosphere? And I know that there is, you know, like you said, there was sensationalism going on, and some of it was more, some of it was the newspapers making a bigger deal out of it than probably occurred. But do you think it would have been as a big a deal if it had been, if the guy getting hanged wasn't black?
I don't think so. I think that at that time, you know, unfortunately, part of our history is at that time still people were getting lynched.
Right.
You know, so it was... It was kind of a legal lynching.
Right.
You know, people got
the... Although the evidence against him was...
No, I mean, I'm not saying... But you know what I'm saying. People were getting lynched, and this was people's way to see what a lynching looked like, a hanging, you know.
Yeah.
Most people, I'd assume, had never seen something like that.
Well, now, the guy who threw... They were talking about the guy who threw the trapdoor was drunk, and then the press also reported that the crowd... rushed the gallows to grab souvenirs from the corpse.
Yes, they did. The people that was up close.
But there was a review of the case in 92 that included interviews with surviving witnesses, and they were saying nothing like that happened. That it was a very, very dignified...
Owington, the people of Owington, this is something...
somber mob.
Owensboro.
I keep getting that wrong. Owensboro.
Yeah.
This is something they try to change the history on a little bit. They don't want to be reminded that they was the last ones. They're kind of ashamed of it. It's kind of like Dallas and the Kennedy thing. So there's some disagreement as to the people from Owensboro will say...
Some revisionist history going on.
Yeah, the people of Owensboro will say, no, it was very dignified, it was very this... But the newspapers or whatever at the time, now they could have been lying too, but...
We just said that there was sensational journalism. And
right. So you don't really know who to believe on that one.
You know, if 20,000 people show up and see a guy get hanged, I'm not sure how dignified that is, even if they're quiet. I mean, it seems like it's a ghoulish type of thing to me.
Well, and that's the only way you could describe a hanging as ghoulish. It's really one of the most ghoulish ways you could kill somebody. They could chop their heads off, but you know they're going to die right then. Mm-hmm. You electrocute them. Sometimes they catch on fire.
So after this happened, there's a big... We were saying in the press, they really played up... They went there for the story of the lady executioner, which didn't happen. So they played up this carnival-like atmosphere. As Brandy said, there's different accounts. Some say that it was a somber crowd that were, you know, they respected the process and were not, you know, yelling and being all crazy, acting all crazy. And then the press played it up like it was this, this sporting event, actually.
Yeah, and here's a quote from Time magazine. Every bar was packed to the doors. Down the main street, tipsy merrymakers rollicked all night. Hanging parties were held in many a home. That's Time Magazine.
Yeah.
So now that could have been sensationalism. Here's the other thing to think about now. When we argue about the death penalty today, it doesn't really matter what side of the death penalty you're on. The fact is that giving somebody a death sentence costs a whole lot more money than sending them to life without parole. Because they don't get all the appeals, they don't get all this, they don't get all that. And it takes 10, 15 years to send somebody to the table now. Now I say the chair, but now it's a lethal injection table. This guy was convicted in June and hung in August.
Yeah, it was...
It takes the colonel longer to get an appointment with his dental hygienist. I mean, he didn't get many appeals. He didn't, and you know why he didn't get those appeals? It was rape. It was at the county level, and it was just rape.
I think we've run into that a couple of times where people were tried very quickly. And, you know, they reached a verdict, and then they carried it out.
Mm-hmm. And it's not to say this guy wasn't guilty. It's just, you know, the argument for... Right now, the argument that people make against the death penalty is how long it takes. There's no swift justice. There's no, you know.
We can rearrange that.
Back then, like June to August, he was convicted in the summer and hung in the summer.
I don't know why we don't do that now.
Well, I believe we like to be a little more prudent in the people we execute. The colonel's all for prudence.
Yeah, you're a prudent guy.
I'm a prudent man.
It's funny, I was reading an article about the colonies, and some of the colonies, after this occurred, maybe you were going to go into this, but after this, the upshot of all this is after this occurred and the negative publicity surrounded.
Well, they banned the public executions.
They banned, and Kentucky banned public executions, was the last state to do so, then was Governor Happy Chandler.
Although Chandler wasn't happy about it.
Yeah.
Chandler was not happy about having to do that. He said, our streets will no longer be safe.
Yeah.
He believed that if you hung people or killed people in public, made an example of them.
You know, and it's funny because you're talking about the debate of the death penalty. There is arguments on both sides for public executions. For those who are pro death penalty, it serves as an example, like you said. For those who are anti-death penalty, many believe if they were made public, that you would see, you know, the public would see how gruesome it is, and they would be some out there. There would be some pushback in terms of the death penalty. So.
Well,
one of the things that I was reading was interesting in the colonies before, before the country was formed in the 1600s. A lot of the communities banned public executions because they were a magnet for pickpockets.
Yeah,
people would show up, and thieves would show up and steal during these executions. So the deterrent factor, it makes you question whether or not.
Now, in the colonies, though, they did not mind, and this goes back to, they would put you in the stockades in public.
Yeah.
And what could happen to you in the stockades late at night when you was in the stockade?
Are you kidding me right now?
No. Well, it was not an uncommon practice for some poor person to come to get buggered in the middle of the night while they was in the stockades. Now, they didn't get the death penalty. But
okay, so the last public execution. Any final thoughts on that, Brandy?
No. No final thoughts.
Colonel, any final thoughts on the last public execution?
I don't believe that we should execute people publicly. I'm not really sure from the colonel's position that we should be executing people at all, because we keep finding flaws in our system. That's not to say I'm not for justice and I'm not for the death penalty. I just think that we have a
some people
very
feel
flawed
that
system.
Certainly 15. Well, if over 15,000 people were executed, you know, just
now that kept crime down quite a bit.
Right, but I mean, you know, you had to out of 15,000. There's probably been you know, some that were executed that were not.
Well, I'm sure that out of 15,000, most of them were guilty.
Probably most were, but there were probably some who were not.
But, right, the colonel can't be sure of every 15,000. Right. And I find it, here's another thing I find interesting is we kill people, we execute people, and this is not taking a stand either way. We keep trying to perfect the most painless, humane way to kill them.
Yeah, I think that's bullshit.
I mean, we're killing them. I mean, the most,
you can't kill them if they have a cold.
Why don't we give them why don't we go back to the firing squads? The firing squads were pretty effective. They were pretty efficient. They were pretty, but now we got lethal injection. The person's out, but, you know, you see those get botched all the time. The electric chair was supposed to be the answer to that, but then people was catching on fire. They wasn't dying right away. Why don't we go back to the firing squad?
Yeah.
Because you get three good shots or six good shots up there and take six in the forehead, you ain't gonna feel nothing. You ain't gonna botch it.
Yeah, I mean, the death penalty, I guess I have mixed emotions on it. I it's hard to defend when you've got it's fairly heinous crimes where you got people killing children and things like that. My only problem with it is personally, I don't believe the state has the right to take a life. But and I think that life in prison is not very appealing to me. So, with that.
Unless it was a Colombian female prison, women's prison.
Anything else? Or should we wrap this thing up? Any more shout outs?
You're a commie. No more shout-outs.
You're against the death penalty. That surprises me, because you seem like a law and order type guy.
He's a cop.
Well, like I said, I'm not it's not infallible. And I don't think the justice system is infallible. And I think there's certainly been people put to death who probably were innocent. And until we can perfect it, I don't think we should be putting people to death. But, like I said, I think that the life imprisonment is a worse penalty to me. I would much rather be executed and spend the remainder of my life in prison, although sometimes these podcasts seem like prison. So,
well, I think we should just... I'm against it just on the economic terms.
Oh,
just,
I see.
Just for the cost. It's cost the taxpayers too much money to execute somebody. Unless, when you're on your way to the trial or whatever, you toss them out of the police car, drag them behind you for a couple hundred yards, and then they show up and they're dead. There's no trial, nothing.
Okay, so that's the last public execution. We will be off for a couple of weeks.
You want to tell them why we're going to be off for a couple weeks?
The colonel will be campaigning in Iowa, and he's going to be out in Des Moines, and he's got a big event going on out there. And then Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I understand you got a big clam bake going on in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I don't even know if they have clams up
actually,
there.
Actually, is it New Hampshire? Because I thought I was going to Portsmouth, Ohio.
And no. The Ohio primary is much later on. You want to get up in New Hampshire.
I want to get a head start on Ohio.
Well,
Ohio's a big state.
It is. So look for the colonel out on the campaign trail, and look for us on our Facebook page, History Dweebs. Look for us on iTunes and on Stitcher. And please, if you're listening to us on iTunes, take a minute and leave us a review. And if it's a positive review, we would love it. If it's a negative review, we'll probably make fun of you next time. But that's okay. You probably won't be listening next time. So anyway, until next time, this is Tim, and we'll talk to you all again real soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.